People talking bad about the way we have to live here in this country. Harping on wars we fight and griping about the way things ought to be. And I don't mind switching sides and standing up to believe in. When they're running down my country, man, they're walking on the fighting side of me. Yeah, walking on the fighting side of me. Running down the way of life, I'm fighting and causing God to be. If you don't love it, leave it. Let this song I'm singing be a warning. You're running down my country, man. You're walking on the fighting side of me. Guy who claims he just don't believe the fact. And I wonder just how long the rest of us can count on being free. They learn our milk and honey, but they preach about some other way of living. When they're running down my country horse, they're walking on the fight beside me. Yeah, walking on the fight inside of me. Running down the way of life, I'm fighting in a foreign diet. If you don't love it, leave it. Let this song I'm singing be a warning. You running down my country, man. You walking on the fight inside of me. Yeah, walking on the fight inside of me. Running down the way of life, I'm fighting in a foreign diet. If you don't love it, leave it. Let this song I'm singing be a warning. And you're running down my country, man. You're walking on the fight inside of me.
Yes, when you're running down my country, you're walking down the fighting side of me, and that's the name of this program here on altrighttv.com or whiteresistanceradio.com. You can reach us through either channel. This is Paul Fromm with more news and views for our people. Of course, those are the European founding settler people of the Dominion of Canada, the United States of America, the Dominions of Australia and New Zealand, the Republic of South Africa, Rhodesia, and all of you who may be listening this morning in the European heartland. Well, this is Paul Fromm, and you're on the fighting side of me. Jan Lamprecht is a good friend of mine. He lives in South Africa, and he is a videographer. He's a student of history. He was born in Rhodesia. He and I have known each other for several years. The Canadian Association for Free Expression had him on a Cross Canada speaking tour in June of 2019. So he made a lot of good friends here in Canada, and he was recently visited by the South African police. But it is less a matter of police harassment than harassment of him by one of the arch enemies of free speech, and that is the Jewish lobby, or in this case the South African Board of Jewish Deputies. And I'm going to play a recent video he made, and this deals with this police visit, and I think you'll find this very, very interesting, what has happened to Jan. Jan is a great student of history, and a really dedicated fighter, a freedom fighter. And there's so much that you know he can tell us in his videos. He's been an absolutely outspoken critic of Zionism, and has told a great deal about the truth about whites in South Africa, so I think you'll find this video of his very, very revealing and extremely insightful about what's actually happening in South Africa and who are the real enemies of free speech. I think this is fairly important to understand who these enemies are and what they're able to do to us.
Welcome to the History Reviewed channel, where we analyze the lies and deceptions of history. Last week, Friday, on the 24th of July, 2020, I had quite a surprise, and that's putting it mildly. It was about midday, and I was in my kitchen at my house, and suddenly I heard a car hooting loudly, and my gate isn't very far away, and I walked to the window to look outside and see if there's someone at the gate. And to my amazement, there is a car, a white VW Polo, at the gate. And I'm thinking to myself, this is not right, because I'm not expecting anyone to visit me, and if anyone were to visit me, whether it was a company or a friend or anybody, I would know beforehand. Even a company would phone you and they'd tell you, we're going to drop off something at your house or collect something or someone's coming to see you or whatever. But here is this car and there's no warning, no nothing, and there's black eyes sitting in the driver's seat. And these days I'm quite alert to a certain degree. And I'm saying to myself, no, there's something wrong here. This is out of place. There's something not right here. Something is very not right. And I go outside and I go to the gate. And as I get to the gate, I say to the guy. The guy gets out of the driver's seat, quite a tall black guy, wearing his COVID mask. And in the meantime, I've been thinking, you know, who could it be? Who could it be? Is it the bank? Is it the municipality? Is it something to do with water and lights? Is it something to do with the internet? What else could it be? And of all the things I'm thinking of, the one thing I'm not thinking of is police. Like, police did not even enter my mind as a possible option. There was no thought for even a fleeting millisecond that this could be police. So when the guy got up and out of the car, he greeted me, and I think he flashed his badge. He held up his badge and he said he's from the police, and he was holding a file in his hands, and he says, I need to speak to you about something. A case has been lodged against you. And I got to be honest with you, when he said police, and I've got to discuss a case or discuss a matter with you or whatever, it did not register in my head. I was like, I'm hearing this, but I don't really believe what I'm hearing. And he said to me that he'd like to speak to me. Could I come to the police station either today or tomorrow? He needs to interview me. And the big thing in my mind was, what do you want to interview me about? What is this about? So he's still outside my house. He's still outside the gate. And I'm on the inside. And I'm saying to him, you know, what is this about? Who lodged this? What on earth is this about? And then he started telling me a few pieces. And the more he told me, the more questions I had in my head. And I was like, okay, you know, but what about this? And what about that? And, you know, who is this? Why is this? What is this? And then after maybe a minute or so of talking to him, I eventually say to him, can we talk here, now? You know, rather than me coming to the police station, you know, do you have time? Can we talk about it now? Oh. And he said, yeah, sure, no problem. So I opened the gate and he came inside. And we sat down in my garden. It's a winter's day, so we sat down in the sun. And I said to him, you know, what exactly is this? So he proceeded to tell me that a female professor at Wits University had lodged a criminal case with the police against me. And the criminal case was the crime that I'm charged with is crimen injuria. And, you know, the more he told me, the more questions I had. So I said to him, like, you know, who is this person? And he says, well, you know, this is the person's name, Professor Sansa. And I'm saying to him, but I don't know that person. You know, where is this person? Oh, he said she lives over in such and such a suburb. And I said, but I don't know this person at all. You know, why is this person, who I don't know at all, lodging a criminal charge against me? So then he proceeds to show me who exactly it is and the contact details and things that they had for me, etc. And in there, as best I can remember, it said something like she was acting on behalf of the South African Board of Jewish Deputies. So the South African Board of Jewish Deputies is the highest Jewish organization in South Africa. You could say this is the ADL of South Africa. Not quite. It doesn't just do the functionality of the ADL. It does all kinds of functions for Jews, but it also does litigation. It also goes after people, and I'd heard of it before because I knew of somebody who'd been prosecuted by them, somebody who'd been sort of hunted down by them for a period of years, actually. And then we started having a discussion, and the guy explained to me that as part of his investigation, the procedure is that he needs to interview me, and that we need to complete a certain form. So anyway, he said to me that after we talked for quite a while and the thing was starting to sink in, he said to me that what he'd do is he can leave the document with me, the document that includes a place for a statement, and you know, I can at my leisure fill in that portion where there's a statement, and then he'll come and collect it tomorrow and we'll finish it off. And then he said to me, and what time is good for you? So I said to him, well, come in the afternoon. And of course, the next day was a Saturday. So this thing has now come at a nasty time on a Friday afternoon, and I have to have some answers for him by Saturday. So anyway, I let him out and off he goes. And I'm still dumbstruck by this thing. I'm absolutely dumbstruck. I can't believe that the police are here and that there's a criminal, that I'm the subject of a criminal investigation. Because crimen injuria is a crime. It's not a civil matter, it's a crime. If you get prosecuted for it, the state comes after you. So I must tell you, I was really astounded. My head was in a spin. And I even by then had forgotten the name of the person who had lodged the case against me. But at least I had some understanding of the basis of what this guy is trying to get at. But he can only tell me certain things, certain very limited things. So I don't know what the charges are. I don't know what caused this. I don't know what the exact evidence is. There's a whole bunch of stuff I don't know. And he's going to question me. So anyway, I then began to start speaking to people and trying to see if I could get someone to give me some legal advice. And I got on with that. And by the next morning, I had a legal representative. And I'd spoken to a couple of different people with some legal background. And people advised me on various things. Anyway, by the next morning, my legal representative sent me an email. And he said, you know, here is your reply. This is what you must do. This is how you must deal with it. So anyway, I typed up all this stuff and I did what I needed to do and I prepared the document. And in the early afternoon, the car was back at the gate, same guy. And by the way, the guy had said his rank is captain. So it's not just some low-level cop. He's a captain in the police. And he looks a bit middle-aged and older, more senior. And he came back and we sat down and we went through the stuff. I gave him my documents and we had to sign all the papers and he had to fill in all the things to show that he'd done his work and he was off. But I must tell you, even then, the whole thing was still for me pretty freaky. And I was saying to myself, now what exactly the hell is this? Now, the next part of the process is this thing goes to the state prosecutor, and then I could, at a point, get a summons to court. So that is pretty much where this thing stands. But there are all kinds of unknowns, all kinds of strange things, and questions in my mind too. I've got a couple of questions even about the lodging of the case. There are some things that even the cop, when I asked him, he himself didn't quite know why it had worked that way. But anyhow, whatever the cause is, the point is that I now had to just sit back and think about this. Should I just leave this and just wait? But my natural instinct always is that I take everything seriously. I take everything seriously, and if things happen suddenly, then I just need to go and spend time, and I need to familiarize myself with stuff. Now, as it is, I'm not really familiar with legal processes. I've done a bit of it now, so I'm feeling a lot more comfortable than I did, say, 2 years ago, 2 or 3 years ago. But even so, now having the police come to you and the police telling you that a criminal charge has been laid against you and that you're under investigation by the cops. So this, I must tell you, this was really new and not pleasant. The last time I dealt with police properly was when I was a kid in Rhodesia, and there was a car accident. My mom and I and another kid were in a car accident. And I've mentioned this in some of my other videos. And that thing was a very unpleasant experience. That was under the early days of Rhodesia being handed over to the blacks. So anyway, when it comes to police and even courts, I'm very, very wary. And I know that it's like a nightmare thing, in that there are all kinds of things you don't know. And it's like a minefield. So anyway, I began to start digging into this thing. What exactly is crimen injuria? I've heard the term before. But what exactly is it, and what exactly do you need to have done in order for you to be found guilty of crimen injuria? And note that I have not been presented with any document listing any charges. So I have no idea what the charges are. I have no idea what exactly they're investigating. So there's a whole bunch of unknowns here. And then, of course, having the police coming to interview you and you don't know the details of what it is that you're accused of. And so people have given me advice on how to respond to that matter. And I felt comfortable with what I've done. But I want to show you a little bit about crimen injuria and what exactly this thing is. Because this seems to be a particularly South African thing. On Wikipedia it says, crimen injuria is a crime under South African common law, defined to be the act of unlawfully, intentionally, and seriously impairing the dignity of another. Although difficult to precisely define, the crime is used in the prosecution of certain instances of road rage, stalking, racially offensive language, emotional or psychological abuse, and sexual offenses against children. The Truth and Reconciliation Commission heard numerous cases of crimen injuria, usually coupled with assault committed by intelligence services on both sides of the struggle against apartheid. And a sort of summary of crimen injuria is, it's an offense committed without a lawful cause. So you can ignore the Truth and Reconciliation Commission stuff. That is political and military stuff at the end of apartheid. But this is a very broadly defined crime, and they use it for a bunch of things. And the crux of it is impairing the dignity intentionally and seriously impairing the dignity of another. So it's a very South African type of thing, very much an African type of thing. So if we go and we look at some cases, the most famous crimen and jury case was this woman, Vicky Momberg. Now, just to give you some background on crimen and jury, it used to be that if you were found guilty of crimen and jury, you could get a fine and a suspended sentence. But in the case of this woman, Vicky Momberg, in 2018, they went much further. They actually took this person because she was a first-time offender. So normally in South African law, if you're a first-time offender, you get it easy. But in the case of this woman, they took this white woman that you see in the picture here. They took this Vicky Momberg and they threw her straight in jail. And I'm going to read to you what happened. And this was quite a freaky thing that happened. So this is an analysis from this website. Crimen and jury is defined as the unlawful, intentional and serious impairment of another person's dignity. This was the crime of the estate agent, and this is an Afrikaans woman, Vicky Momberg, who was found guilty by the Randburg Magistrates Court in November 2017, and for which she was sentenced to an effective 2 years in prison on Wednesday. Momberg's four counts of crimen and jury were for racially abusing two 10111 call center agents and a police constable, David Makondo, after seeking help following a smash and grab in North Riding in February 2016. So, a smash and grab is when a black guy comes and he smashes your car window and he grabs your stuff from inside. I've had a smash and grab. And this woman went wild, and this woman, this Afrikaans woman, no doubt also from panic and emotion, etc., she went and she used the K word. The K word in South Africa is the same as the N word in America. So it says, in a video circulated on social media, Momberg is shown using the K word numerous times and railing against the caliber of blacks in Johannesburg. She also declared repeatedly that she hated all black people. Although the egregiousness of Momberg's words is undeniable, her sentence is surprising. A first offender of crimen and jury would ordinarily be sentenced to a fine and a jail sentence suspended on condition that the offender does not reoffend. This was the case with fellow estate agent Penny Sparrow, who in September 2016 was sentenced to 5,000 rand fine and 2 years imprisonment suspended for 2 years after pleading guilty to crimen in jury. Sparrow received the sentence following a racist Facebook post. Penny Sparrow was another white woman, but she didn't go to jail immediately. After UCT student and model Javan Arigon was found guilty in 2016 of not just crimen and jury, but also for urinating on a black man from the balcony of Tiger Tiger nightclub in Cape Town, he was sentenced to community service and a suspended sentence. In Momberg's case, magistrate Raghunandan threw the book, handing down the maximum permitted sentence of 3 years in prison, with 1 year suspended for 3 years on the condition she does not reoffend. In delivering sentence, Raghunandan acknowledged that the penalty was unusually severe. The crime of crimen injuria is generally not considered a serious offence, the magistrate said, but it depends on how a particular person's dignity has been impaired. So this is all about dignity and insulting people. State prosecutors had asked the magistrate for jail time in order to send out a serious message to society. State prosecutor Yusuf Baba was quoted as saying in response to the sentence, harsher sentences must be meted out because of the abuse that takes place on a daily basis. In Momberg's case, there were a number of aggravating factors. One was the sheer number of times Momberg used racial slurs on the evening in question, in two separate forums, on the phone to 10111 and then in person to black police. Another was the fact that Momberg was reportedly unrepentant in conversations with probation officers before sentencing proceedings, describing the K word as simply a swear word and saying that black people did nothing to uplift themselves. Bizarrely, Momberg had also asked a former colleague to serve as a character witness, who proceeded to tell the court that Momberg was an absolute lunatic who cannot be trusted and is bad news altogether. So her character witness really turned on her. That really backfired on her. Momberg had also shown defiance after being ordered by the Equality Court in June 2017 to pay 100,000 rand damages towards Makondo, the police officer she racially abused. The court also ordered her to make an unconditional written apology, undertake community service, and undertake sensitivity training. Momberg's response was to say that she would appeal the order. These factors have all been taken into account by Magistrate Raghun and Dan, together with the state's plea that the time was right to send a clear message through sentencing. Momberg's sentence has been applauded, including by the DA. The DA is the Democratic Alliance. This is a totally Jewish liberal political party. Most Jews in South Africa, probably 90% of Jews in South Africa, vote for this thing. They put a black face on this thing to hide the fact that Jews totally and utterly fund it, control it in every single way. So even the Jewish liberals were saying, yay, yay. In a statement on Wednesday, the opposition party said, we trust this ruling will be a deterrent to those who harbour any racist sentiments. One of the few bodies to voice criticism about the sentence was lobby group AfriForum, which said the ruling confirms double standards in South Africa regarding race. AfriForum said that Momberg's racist comments need to be condemned and questioned why the same approach was not taken towards black people who insulted white South Africans. The Center for Constitutional Rights told Daily Maverick on Monday that the sentence might well be overturned on appeal. I'm not too convinced that the sentence will stand further legal scrutiny, and it does not appear to fit the crime, even if she was remorseless. However, let me tell you that this was not the case. This thing was not repealed. It has been reported that the case is the first in South Africa in which a person found guilty of crimen injuria has been sentenced to prison. Daily Maverick has been unable to confirm this, but it does appear to be the first racism case in which the offender will serve time behind bars for words rather than actions. You'll remember that Alex Linder has said many times that Jews are trying to put whites in jail for words rather than actions. And this is exactly what this thing is. The freedom of expression and the implications of this will need to be teased out by legal experts. It should also be noted that the state appears to prosecute crimen injuria quite selectively. For example, in 2016 judgment penned by Judge Ali in the Western Cape High Court pointed out that in South African law, there are no reported cases where sexist utterances have been found to amount to crimen injuria. If the Momberg sentence survives an appeal, it remains to be seen what impact this could have on further cases, and whether cases of other forms of verbally expressed prejudice, such as sexism, homophobia, or homophobia, could be treated similarly. The Momberg case should also spark discussion about the nature and purpose of justice in cases such as these. There are presumably few people who will argue that the time in prison will cure Momberg of her evidently deeply ingrained racism. A jail term in this case may feel intuitively satisfying to many, but does little to address the wider social problem of racism and its causes. So that is one story about Vicky Momberg. However, the key thing here with Vicky Momberg is that this thing sets a new precedent, and South African law works on precedents. So when it comes to tricky judgments, if a magistrate or a judge has to make a particularly tricky judgment in a certain situation, then that judgment becomes regarded as a precedent, and other South African courts will follow that precedent. So precedents in themselves become like the law. So here, for example, in this, in the Mail and Guardian here, it says, estate agent Vicky Momberg was caught on video verbally abusing a black policeman. She used the K word repeatedly during her tirade against men who were trying to assist her. The word is deeply offensive and considered the most racist in South Africa. The state brought a case of criminal injury against Momberg, and a court has sentenced her to 3 years in jail, one of which is suspended. This makes her the first person in the country to be jailed for this offense. So the journalist asks various legal experts from universities what their views are. So this woman, Penelope Andrews, says, the significance of the judgment is substantive and symbolic. It's substantive in that the crime committed by the accused is punished severely. Symbolically, it sends a message that racism is not to be tolerated. In fact, one could go so far as to say that the law establishes that anyone using the K word publicly to abuse and humiliate will be severely punished. The next respondent said, past cases indicate that the verbal form of criminal injuria is not that serious, but the Momberg sentence is a first of its kind in South Africa. She was sentenced to 3 years imprisonment, of which 1 year was suspended for a period of 3 years, on condition that she did not commit criminal injuria again. In effect, this means that Momberg will serve 2 years imprisonment. So just for saying something, she gets 2 years jail time. According to principles of criminal law, criminal injuria consists in unlawfully and intentionally impairing the dignity or privacy of another person. Let me just pause there. I think they also might apply it. I know that they will put people in jail if people have got video footage, private video footage, and they spread it on the social media, and that is embarrassing to somebody, that can also result in some serious punishment. I suspect it might be criminal injuria. They were talking about ex-boyfriends and girlfriends taking sex videos of their sex and then spreading it in public. And I think that's where the privacy thing comes in. South Africa's criminal law system is based on common law and statutory law. Common law offences include abduction, arson, bigamy, fraud, incest, housebreaking, rape, robbery, and treason. Statutory crimes include crimes such as tax fraud and prevention of organized crime. Let's just see. Criminal injuria provides the basis of protecting the constitutional right to human dignity in criminal prosecutions. This can happen either verbally or by deed. Importantly, criminal injuria should be distinguished from criminal defamation, which has to do with the good name or reputation of a person. Both the right to privacy and dignity are protected in different sections of the Constitution of the Republic of South Africa. To determine if a person's dignity was impaired, the victim should firstly have been aware of what the accused was doing to them, and secondly, the victim should have felt degraded or humiliated because of what the accused did to them. This is also objectively determined by the court. The court then considers whether a reasonable person in the same circumstances of the accused would have felt humiliated or degraded by the conduct of the accused. It seems that currently the most serious form of criminal injuria is the use of the word, the K word. It is evident from case law that when calling a police officer the K word in South Africa is regarded as serious enough to warrant criminal proceedings. How does it differ from hate speech? Criminal injuria is a criminal offence, hate speech is a civil offence. Rather, it's prohibited in the Constitution as well as legislation that protects people against unfair discrimination. Hate speech also has a very specific definition, whereas criminal injuria is arguably more broadly defined. The Constitution promotes free speech, but it doesn't extend to hate speech based on race, ethnicity, gender, or religion. South Africa is also a signatory to the International Convention on the Elimination of All Forms of Racial Discrimination, which requires countries to make racial superiority or hatred punishable by law. South Africa has drafted a new bill to cover this. The Hate Speech Bill is being considered by Parliament. It provides for the criminal prosecution of people who commit offences of hate crime and hate speech. It defines hate speech as any intentional communication, including speech that advocates hatred or is threatening, abusive, or insulting towards any other person or group of persons, ranging from race and gender to social origin. According to the bill, a guilty first offender may receive a maximum of 3 years prison sentence and up to 10 years for subsequent conviction. What are the implications of the precedent-setting judgment? There may be several implications. First, the judgment is a clear statement that the use of racial slurs and the impairment of human dignity will not be tolerated. One could argue that there is now an unequivocal zero tolerance for the use of the K word. Second, the implication may be that all kinds of racial slurs that involve not just anti-black hatred, but also anti-Semitic, xenophobic, anti-female and homophobic slurs will not be tolerated. The third implication is that there is a strong sensitizing and educational effect. The airwaves and social media have already been abuzz with commentary since the sentence was passed. Criminal injuria has become a household term as people argue about the law's meaning, the punishment, what constitutes criminal injuria, and whether the judgment was fair. The court sent a message that racism is not just inappropriate, but it is criminal. The hope must be that the penny drops for South Africans, that their actions carry big repercussions. The judgment and the sentence highlight the fact that South Africa needs to put hate crime legislation in place. It's already in an advanced stage, but needs to be promulgated. So this is from various lecturers in law. And they mostly seem to be white. But intellectuals are there just to carry out the tasks of the state. If the state requires an excuse for something, then the intellectuals need to find the logic behind it. That's pretty much how life works. here there were some people, a small group of people who marched and asked for Vicky to be freed. This was in 2019, almost a year after she went to jail. And you can see these whites with various things. It says, stop hate speech. They're also talking about farmers, and it's something about, I'm not sure if that sign says fuck with the farmer. Maybe it's don't fuck with the farmer or something. That big one says stop farm murders. This one says land. Land question mark, work for it. So Black Monday are the people who did that Black Monday get together in 2017. That massive get together that was against farm murders. The 2017 Black Monday thing was the biggest, what you could call white protest in the history of South Africa. It was massive. And I've got film and video footage of it. Anyway, as it turned out for Vicky Momberg, she was released, and eventually, but she served her sentence. And it says here, Vicky Momberg has been released from jail yesterday, Friday, after her sentence reached its expiry date. She qualified for a special remission, which was granted by Cyril Ramaphosa earlier this month. So the president, as they often do, or they don't often do it, but every now and then they do it, every few years they do it, they have reasons for letting people go from prison, and she qualified for it, and I suspect that she got out maybe 3 months or so before her time, but still she spent quite a while in jail. And so that is what can happen in a worst case scenario with crimen injuria. I mean, you can go to jail. You can go to jail for calling people names. And you can be thrown straight into jail for calling people names. Or cursing at them. But the only person who's been convicted of this is Vicky Momberg. There are blacks. As somebody was reminding me today, there are blacks who have called for the killing of whites. There are blacks who have openly said on the social media that whites must be killed, etc. And nothing ever happened to them. Nothing ever happened to them. But Vicky Momberg, she goes straight to jail first time. So they were sending a message that, you know, whites get jail time for words that they say. And there are blacks who can say that they want to kill people and they don't get jail time. Nobody even takes them to court. So a bit of the double standards. But the scary part are the wide definitions of what can constitute these things. So wide definitions mean that they can be used in all sorts of situations. So it's kind of freaky, man. And now I've got this Jewish professor. I'm quite sure she's Jewish. And I think in the document it said she's representing the South African Board of Jewish Deputies. So I was thinking that, you know, if I've got 70,000, because there are about 70,000 or so Jews in South Africa, if I've got 70,000 of the richest, most influential people in South Africa laying charges against me, maybe I should go and lay charges of intimidation or something. And say that people are trying to intimidate me. You know, I'm one guy, and I've got a website, and I work alone. And if 70,000 of the richest, most powerful, well-connected people in the country including people who know the president directly, if they are laying some charges against me by way of this professor, then maybe I should say I'm being intimidated. I feel really intimidated. One white guy with one website, with a website operating alone, and the most powerful people in the country, the 70,000 richest people, millionaires, multimillionaires, billionaires, 70,000 richest people in the country have lodged a case against me. Maybe I need to run to the police and say, help me, please, protect me from the rich and the powerful. I don't think I'm going to be that lucky, eh? I don't know if I'm going to be that lucky, but I think that would not be an unreasonable action. Anyway, so that's just to give you some background on what the heck happened. And now it's simply a case of waiting for the state to see what the state does and whether I get a summons and what happens next. So this could also take a while because of all the COVID and all the various things, but this is pretty freaky, I must tell you. It happened less than a week ago. It's now about 5 days afterwards, but I must tell you, I've really had to think really hard about this thing, and there are so many questions on my mind. The scary thing is that these blacks prepare many laws up front. There are laws that were already put in place in the 1990s that haven't even been used yet properly. So they think ahead and they are setting up laws that make it literally impossible for whites to function. So there's some tough stuff out there. So that's just to tell you what happened, and I'll keep you informed, and we'll see what happens next. But yeah, I've got somebody coming after me, and it looks like, although it's under the name of one person, it looks like I've got the Jews of South Africa hunting me down. And in my discussions with someone else who used to be a policeman, when I explained everything to that guy, the guy said to me that it looks like these people are out to ruin you. They're out to, like, destroy you. And, you know, expect more of the same. Expect more nasty surprises to come my way. So, it's not a pleasant feeling. But yeah, there you go. So, I've got the top Jewish organization behind her, and they are trying to get the cops to get me chucked in jail. So there you have it, eh? So much for free speech and all that, eh? So some food for thought for you, and some information about how things really work in South Africa. And it's the first time I've really had to study and look at this law. Until now, I've never had to look into things like this. But there you have it. A visit from the police, thanks to Jews. How interesting is that, eh? These are my websites: historyreview.com, africancrisis.info, and white-shop.biz. This is my attempt to try and do some Jew-free trading and experimenting with the next level of stuff. So, thank you very much for listening. We'll be chatting again soon. Take care of yourself.
That was an extensive report from Theodore Jan Lamprecht and the persecution he's now undergoing at the hands of the spokesman or working for the Board of Jewish Deputies in South Africa. Well, this is Paul Fromm. You're on the fighting side of me. Going to play you one two for my very short musical break tonight. This is a man who brought the California or Bakersfield country and western song to sound to Nashville in the 1960s. Buck Owens. Side of me, and I sign out tonight as always, do with the anthem of the real Canada, the Maple Leaf Forever. This is Paul Fromm, and you're on the fighting side of me.
In days of yore, from Britain's shore, Wolfe the dauntless hero came and planted firm Britannia's flag on Canada's fair domain. Here may it wave our boast, our pride, and joined in love together, the thistle, shamrock, rose, and twine, the maple leaf forever. The maple leaf, our emblem dear, the maple leaf forever. God save our queen and heaven bless the maple leaf forever. At Queenston Heights and Lundy's Lane, our brave fathers side by side for freedom, homes and loved ones dear, firmly stood and nobly died. And those dear rights which they maintained, we swear to yield them never. Our watchword evermore shall be the maple leaf forever, the maple leaf. am Lundeer, the Maple Leaf forever. God save our Queen and Heaven bless.